news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, and Sean Sullivan pinch-hitting this week for Dan Brennan on vacation.
Dalton, you're not right Dan. There.
I am not Dan. It's Sean Sullivan. It is Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over this hour. And as we mentioned earlier, of course, one of our three big things, top news stories of the day, and that is Mobile County suspending jury trials until January of next year. This discussion is clear, present, and every day for the district attorney for Mobile County, Ashley Rich, and she joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks for your time, and good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me on today.
Let's talk about this, because you've been on the midday show with me. We've talked about the uphill climb it has been in this year of 2020, trying to get justice served out there. Can you start off by discussing the backlog your office is looking at of cases?
Cases that are waiting to have a jury trial, we have over 1,000. But since COVID, we have charged over 5,000. We're actually at 50, a little over 5,300 right now since COVID started. Felony crimes that have been committed and someone has been charged with committing that crime. And so those are still coming down the pike. So they haven't even made it through grand jury because we haven't had enough grand juries to move the cases through grand jury to get a trial setting. So we have thousands of cases. And there's just a tremendous backlog. And so the last thing we need at this moment is another shutdown of the court system. And unfortunately, that's what happened yesterday. I'm very disappointed about it.
Ashley, what would be the normal timeline for a felony case that would be relatively an open and shut case? How long would that normally take to go to trial?
Normally, it would take around 18 months from the time that the defendant is originally charged until it gets to a trial setting. But we're talking now at least 2 to 3 years. Due to the backlog of COVID.
On both sides of this, it makes me wonder about, are we living up to the constitutional requirement, right, of speedy trial? First of all, through your eyes, let's talk about for those victims and the victims' families that you have, a felony case, and we're talking about 3 years before they could receive justice?
Absolutely. And that's what's so sad about it. And that's why I'm sad today, because of victims of crime and the fact that we aren't able to give them justice, a speedy justice. And it just further delays the process. It further victimizes the victim. And, Sean, if you think about it, as a community, the community wants me to make sure that I'm putting and keeping the criminals in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely hard to do that at this point. We need jury trials to be able to move cases, to be able to get cases pled. Because the bottom line is, criminal defendants don't plead guilty until they see that there's a jury out in the hall. And without a threat of a jury coming down, they're not going to plead guilty. So virtually all those over 1,000 cases that's waiting on a jury trial, nothing's going to happen on those cases.
Yeah, you're talking shop here for us to be able to understand your job. So out of that backlog, there's a certain number that would go to trial no matter what, but there's in there some percentage that would plead. But with no threat of going to trial, they're not pleading.
They're not pleading. So even under COVID conditions, the parameters were we could go to trial with one jury trial on a Monday of a trial week. But we would set 10 to 20 cases that Monday. And so the defendants didn't know which one of them was going to get the jury. So they, rather than risk their case going to a jury that day, they would go ahead and admit their guilt and plead guilty. So, we were able to dispose of a number of cases every single week, even during COVID, when we had jury trials waiting in the hallway. But now that we don't have jury trials waiting in the hallway, nothing's going to happen in circuit court.
There's been a number of stories recently, locally and statewide, with criminals that have just been released from jail, sometimes from violent offenses. Is that in any way related to this pushing back of jury trials, or is that a separate issue?
No, that is related. And, I think what's going to happen is the longer a criminal defendant sits in jail waiting a jury trial, then judges will have pressure to let those defendants out on bond. And that's not what we want as a community, and that's not what I'm advocating. COVID is not a problem that was created by the courts or by the district attorney's office. And those defendants need to sit in jail and wait until their trial date. And what I'm concerned about is the criminals have not stopped committing crimes during COVID. They just haven't. and they're being let out on bond, and then they're reoffending. And it's just a grave problem that I'm very concerned about. You know, I want to say this, though, Sean. You know, I've been on your show twice now, asking people to come down and serve on jury duty during COVID and making sure they understand that we have safety protocols in place due to COVID, that, you know, there's masks, there's social distancing, 6 feet apart, those kinds of things. And I'm just really pleased that the public answered that call. And this shutdown is not because we couldn't get enough jurors to come down and perform their civic duty on jury duty. Okay, this is just a shutdown that the presiding judge has mandated due to the increase in numbers of COVID. It's not because we don't have enough jurors that are willing to come down and perform their duty. And I'm, as the district attorney, I just would ask people to continue, when we start jury trials back up, to continue to answer the call and to continue to come down and help us so that we can move juries along.
Yeah, and I do want to interject, too, that the federal system's still moving forward. So if your jury summons for federal court, then they're still going, but it's the state district court that's not. Can you explain to folks that you just kind of brushed over against it there for a second, but you talked about it in the past with us, the things that y'all have done through your office to make the jury experience safe. I mean, y'all have gone above and beyond. I want to make sure people know that.
Well, first of all, you no longer come down to the jury assembly room on the ninth floor. We've rented out the Civic Center, okay? So you actually go to the Civic Center, and you are 6 feet apart. You're sitting every seventh chair in the Civic Center theater. And that's where the initial jury selection process takes place, so that there's absolute adequate room for social distancing, and everyone is required to wear masks, temperatures checked before entry. And then when you're put into a panel of, let's say, 36 jurors, then you move over to the courthouse, and that's when you go into a very, very large courtroom where we can still maintain social distancing, 6 feet apart, wearing masks, all of those things, and pick a jury. And then jury boxes, like you see on TV, are no longer a thing. There's not 12 people sitting shoulder to shoulder in a jury box. We are now moved the jury into the audience section of the courtroom, and they are sitting 6 feet apart, of course, wearing masks. And all of the participants in the court process are also wearing masks. So we have enacted, and the courtrooms are being cleaned every single night when there is an active trial going on. So there are many, many parameters in place to make sure that it is a safe environment for people to come down and serve on jury duty.
Yeah, it might be the most sanitized place in the city or the county when you start talking about those efforts y'all have had. I look at this too, and I wonder how you, and I hate to say this, but how do you clear, let's say things get back to where they were, which was what, 50% or less before this order. How do you clear? You just said 1,000 were in the backlog, then we got 5,000 since. How do you ever clear that? I'm not trying to be negative, but how do you ever clear that?
We're just going to do the best we can, Sean. That's what the people of Mobile County want me to do. But I think it's clear that I'm frustrated, but we're going to go to work. My entire staff at the Mobile County District Attorney's Office is going to go to work every day, and we're going to do the best that we can for victims of crime and for the citizens of our community. That's all we can do. And I will continue to try to motivate my employees in any way I can to make sure we're doing that.
District Attorney Rich, is this similar to when we saw at the beginning of this pandemic, state after state go into lockdown mode and then mask ordinances, where it was almost like a copycat, you know, dominoes falling situation? Are other districts stopping their jury trials because maybe they don't have the space or the means to have as clean as you just laid out, as safe as it could be for jury trials in Mobile? Is it kind of a copycat thing where other districts start to shut down their jury trials and then we start to do the same thing?
No, I don't know of any other jurisdictions that have shut down jury trials after they started back in September. Now, I may not know, I haven't talked to all of the DAs across the state, but no one has sent out any information that their courthouse was closed. And so it came as, you know, I knew that our presiding judge was waiting week to week to determine whether we would continue with jury trials or not, but I don't know of any other jurisdiction that's canceled jury trials till the end of the year.
What is the benchmark when we look at this January 2021? Is that just set, or is that if we are at this level? Did they tell you anything like that? Is there
no,
some benchmark?
There was no clarification that we would just wait and see.
And well, so, what is that? There's not a. I mean, if you shut it down because of benchmark, it should be a benchmark to reopen.
Well, I mean, he says the order said in January, but again, you know, we just have to wait and see. Here's my thing, Sean, and I think this is important. You know, COVID is horrible. There are many people that are sick. There are many people that have died as a result of COVID. So I'm not trying to minimize COVID in any way, shape, or form. However, we have to prioritize the justice system as an essential business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm afraid we're not doing that. And that's what I worry about, is the justice system, the safety of our community, the safety of our citizens, preventing criminals from continuing to commit crimes is all essential. And I'm just worried that we're not prioritizing that as an essential business that needs to stay open and continue doing the work that we're doing.
Not just essential, constitutional. You know, I think about the discussions we're having right now. You know, it seems to be dominated Mardi Gras or not. And as much as I have an opinion in that, that is not a constitutional issue, as is the right to a fair and speedy trial. The justice system is a, I agree with you 100%, is a tenet of why we have government.
That's right. And you expect, the citizens expect, a community free of criminal activity, or a community that responds and prosecutes crimes and prosecutes criminals and keeps them behind bars and keeps our community safe. That's what the public expects. And therefore, our justice system should be essential, and we shouldn't be opening and closing it.
I couldn't agree more. So folks that receive those summons now, it's off till January, but will they receive a further summons, or what will your offer, how will that work come January if it's green lighted again?
The court sends out the jury summons to come down for jury duty. So as soon as they get that, please continue the great job that everyone's doing about, you know, coming down and performing their civic duty on jury duty. We will send out witness subpoenas and subpoenas that are necessary to conduct a trial. So those will still go out in December, and they will get notice of when jury trial starts back in January.
All right. We appreciate your time this morning and the fight that you're fighting in Mobile County. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. District Attorney Ashley Rich, there's reaction to the news story. It's one of our three big things this morning. We'll talk about it with you when we get back at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Let's talk about your Thanksgiving hours. What's happening in McConnell?
Yeah, we're going to be closed tomorrow. We're going to be here till 5 today. I mean, till 6. I'm sorry. God, I'm going to let them off early. I'll like that. But we'll be back Friday, and we'll be back Saturday. Of course, Iron Bowl Saturday. We're going to have a little food and have the games on. So, you know, when you come in, if y'all want to come in on Saturday, we'll have the games on if you don't want to miss anything. Got a bunch of big screen TVs around here, and we're just going to have a good time. And like I said, I want to wish everybody from here at McConnell a happy Thanksgiving and a safe Thanksgiving. And if any kind of, you know, you have an accident or anything like that unfortunate, just give us a call. We got a great body shop. Gary and the girls and the guys back there will take care of your needs and take care of the insurance for you. So, I mean, you know, we just got it going on down here at Dolphin Street.
Now, when y'all get back to work on Black Friday, it is the end of the month, so time to act fast on some of these deals.
That's right. We've got some $6,000, of course, on those nice-looking pickup trucks, and we got another truckload of those coming in that came in yesterday. And you know, got to thinking, all those Mardi Gras trucks that we had ordered and it don't look like we're going to be parading, so we got to get rid of those too. So we're going to have some deals here in the next few days, hopefully have a little Black Friday sale.
All right, good stuff. We appreciate it, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You know, Louis mentioning Mardi Gras and the questions about it. Now, I was reading an email here a second ago. So, if you missed the beginning of the hour, we talked to Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Ridge about now jury trials being off. And by the way, side note, from the federal level, they're still, federal court's still moving on. So if you got a jury summons for federal court, y'all are still on. Mm-hmm. So, but we're talking about state district court, right? And the backlog. I want to point this out. I'm not going to stop talking about the Mardi Gras thing. And coming up today on Midday Mobile, Dr. Brandy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department will join me to talk about a lot of stuff, but I'll ask about, you know, where we are. We have the story about unless something changes with the Safer at Home amended order, that you're getting the word from the health folks, you shouldn't have Mardi Gras. They say issuing parade permits and all that stuff is the dominion of the city to make that decision. So we'll keep talking about that, but let me just talking about a triage list of what's important. The court system, as much as I love Mardi Gras, I'm a Mardi Gras guy, the court system is light years ahead in importance in what government is here to do.
Mm-hmm.
The essential functions of government and the justice system. Here's things, it's about things you can't or shouldn't put into the private sector. Justice is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? You look at the things of government that I think among any fair-minded folks would argue that, okay, that's something government should be doing. And justice, justice system is one of them. And when you get two things happening here, you've got this backlog of cases that, number one, how this is going to be processed out going forward, how many years or longer does it take to go through that once we have jury trials happening again? But in the short term, you heard the district attorney say that they're not getting the plea deals because a defense attorney and a defendant here, why would they plead at this point?
Right.
They know there's not a jury trial coming. Why plead when you can kick that can down the road? It could be, the way we're talking about, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about felony cases.
Yeah, and capital murder cases, too. 25 that are backlogged as of Brandon Kirby's report from Fox 10 last week. Now, and that's kind of the dangerous game that politicians start playing when they start doing lockdowns and ordinances because, you can relate one thing to any other. So when you have all these people out protesting or cheering on the Biden presidential victory, mm-hmm. and then you tell people they can't gather at home for Thanksgiving, those people are going to say, well, wait, you've got all these people that are out, doing their own thing, whether it's protesting or rioting or doing other things, and I can't be with my family at home. And then you see that they're shutting down jury duty in this jurisdiction. At the same time, there's going to be fans in the stands at the Iron Bowl on mm-hmm. Saturday. There's basketball that's starting today. There's going to be fans in the stands
Thank you.
So how can you square that? That you're not going to put dangerous criminals through, or even sometimes innocent. I mean, I know we're talking about
an innocent person. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, think about that feeling that you're a defendant on some heinous crime or whatever that's a felony.
Right.
That's hanging over you. People make judgments about people just because they forget the innocent until proven guilty. They make judgments. You got that hanging over you, and you're completely innocent, and it may be 3 years before you could be exonerated.
Yeah. This is going to be so
horrible.
So, the long-term effects of this, I mean, just with what Ashley Ridge said, they were backlogged by 1,000 before the pandemic, and now there's been 5,000 more added to that. So this is going to take years to parse through in the court system. And, anytime things get backlogged like that, then it becomes easier for, things to fall through the crack and maybe people that'll be getting out that shouldn't be getting out that are dangerous criminals. So
people should be, if y'all could be as motivated about this as you are, once again, I'm not taking away from Mardi Gras because I'm going to still talk about it, but if you could be as motivated about this as you are at Mardi Gras, maybe that's a little more balanced approach to life. Maybe that the judicial system, the justice system, and the specific tenet of government of doing this is more important. So we got to push for that. And where's the benchmark is the other thing that worries me too. And this is one thing that has bothered me through this process is when we were at stay at home, we're now safer at home. The green light is whatever they call it. Deal.
Safer apart.
Even then, so even the final step is safer apart. What are where are the benchmarks? Like, and I understand that they may have to be amended and changed because things change over time, but just the way my mind works, I like to know what goals are. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a kid in school, you know you have to get a 90 at least to get an A, right? You know the speed limit's 55. You know that your cholesterol needs to be below this. You know that to have a benchmark and say this number of reduction of cases or this percentage of cases reduced or increased will trigger this or will come back from this. And I think that is, maybe there's some reason I'm missing something, but that seems like a fair way to say, okay, even though I disagree with what's happening right now with these jury trials, but say if Alabama is at X number of cases or below, then that is a green light for the jury trials to return in full, you know?
Just some kind of goal line, right? And pretty much most success...
Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense in this world to have, if you're going to set something...
I mean, most successful people, and, you know, think about New Year's resolutions, but most successful people set hardline goals for themselves, whether it's personally or professionally, and successful businesses do the same. They say, you know, we want to be growing by this much year over year at this point. And that's how you become successful. You have a certain goal you have in mind. But if anyone's tried to, you know, lose weight or gain muscle, if you just say, okay, I'm going to start dieting and lose weight, you're not going to be nearly as successful
as if
you say, by February 30th, I want to have lost 15 pounds, and this is how I'm going to do it. Well, it's the same thing with these states that are doing shutdowns or with the jury trials being backed up. Unless you say, this is the standard.
Yes, and there has to be.
Then what goal are you going for if you don't set some kind of goal line?
Thank you. I'm glad, because sometimes I just scratch my head and say, okay, if there's benchmarks to go into these more restrictive things, then we have to set benchmarks where we would come out of them. And if they need to be changed or tweaked over time because of some piece of information I don't yet know, then we can have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's set benchmarks. And my buddy Jay says that includes private prisons, corporate slave factories. Don't get me, purview of government only. Don't get me started, Chase. Or maybe you should. We'll do that on a future show. Like they do in Louisiana with private prisons. Not a place for the private sector. I love the private sector. Prison's not a place for the private sector. All right, be right back. Right, 850 FM Talk, 106.5 at Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan and Dalton Orwig. I'm pinch hitting this week for Dan Brennan on vacation. Remember, tomorrow, Fisher House, charity we think so much of, and the quick way to explain my elevator talk, if I'm pitching somebody why they should care about Fisher House, what Ronald McDonald House does for families that have children in children's hospitals getting treatment, lets them be right there by the hospital with other families that understand what they're going through. Fisher House does that for families of our veterans, and that could be here stateside or internationally. They're homes that are near these VA facilities, so when that veteran is getting care in that facility, the family has a place right nearby to stay. And number one, they're there close. Number two, they're with other people that understand what they're going through as families of veterans. It's a fantastic charity. It's also a very efficient charity. You can check out Charity Navigator, all the different sites, and they show you, it gets all the stars because the, I think it's like 98 point something percent of every dollar returned to actually doing the charity thing versus administering it. It's great stuff. Plus, they got a program where you can donate frequent flyer miles.
Mm-hmm.
This is really cool. You have extra and I think it's American and Delta. Maybe United. It's on the website. You can donate your frequent flyer miles, and they will give those to the families of the veterans that are flying to the VA facilities to be with their loved ones. It's good. You know what we think about veterans and their families around here, so it's a no-brainer that we dig what Fisher House does. So check out their story coming up tomorrow on the show. Also, coming up on Friday, a lot of football talk in the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, Jason Campbell, huddle up.
Yeah, huddle up with Jason Campbell, the former Auburn and NFL quarterback. He'll join us, as always, at 8 o'clock on Friday to talk the Iron Bowl this week. But then a special guest, somebody who is heard right here on FM Talk 106.5 very often. We'll have the one and only Paul Feinbaum on Friday. What, 8:35? Is that what we're going to get?
That's
Paul
right.
Feinbaum on to talk about the Iron Bowl?
Yep, so he will join us at 8:35. So big football going on Friday here at FM Talk 106.5. And like I said, coming up on Midday Mobile today, Dr. Rendy Murphy, also State Senator Chris Elliott. And let's check in with our buddy Jeff Poor and see what's on line for today's show. Hey, Jeff. We got Jeff. Did I press the wrong button? Probably. I probably did. I thought I had Jeff in the mix, but maybe he's just standing by. So
I can tell you who he has
Congressman Byrne on, right?
Yeah, he'll have Congressman Byrne on at 10 o'clock this morning. Also, State Representative Arnold Mooney in that same hour. As always, he'll talk with Jefferson County GOP Chairman Paul DeMarco coming up at 9:30 this morning. This will be an interesting video. The Alabama GOP, I believe it's they're against the prohibition of marijuana. And he'll talk with a representative from that group, Al Ramp, is what it's called. And Marty Shelper, I believe, is the man that Jeff will be talking to today. And then at 11:30, Sean Ross from Yellowhammer News to talk about some of the state politics that are going on.
All right. So speaking of state politics, too, seeing flags at half-staff. Governor Ivey calling for that for remembrance of former Representative Alvin Holmes. So that's why that's going on. All right. You got a couple stories here that we got to get to before we wrap up.
Yes. So being from Tennessee, Cracker Barrel, a big deal up there, just like it is here in Alabama. But
you could say that in any state.
Well, what I was going to say is when I was young, it seemed like Cracker Barrel was our Thanksgiving ritual. We would always go to Cracker Barrel. Yeah, the day before or the day after Thanksgiving. And Cracker Barrel, I think we talked about this a while back, but we're actually starting to see some of the Cracker Barrel stores begin to sell alcohol. Who would have ever guessed that Cracker Barrel would sell alcohol?
It's going to make that little game harder, that little peg game. Yes.
But the Coleman, Alabama Cracker Barrel will soon be selling alcohol. They announced earlier this year for the first time in Cracker Barrel's 51-year history, they'll begin serving beer, wine, and mimosas at select locations. So when you get your pancakes and eggs and sausage and bacon, you can now get a mimosa with your Cracker Barrel breakfast. They said they were going to start expanding the alcohol sales to more stores, and the Coleman City Council on Monday night approved the alcohol license for the Cracker Barrel on Highway 157. So I don't believe any in our local area are selling alcohol just
yet.
They
better get cracking.
But the Coleman, Alabama one will soon be selling beer, wine, and mimosas at Cracker Barrel. How about that?
Trying to think what to pair. Did they have any list if they have wine? Maybe we'll talk to, you know, whatever buddies like Jim Cox and talk about pairing wines. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you pair with the country fried steak?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What wine would go with the country fried steak?
Or what wine is best with grits?
Yes. I mean, if I was going to have the catfish with the turnip greens and the mashed potatoes, what would a Riesling maybe you'd suggest? So Cracker Barrel, that's good. Cracker Barrel's here locally. Get moving with that.
Yeah, we need you to get on that. And a couple days ago, I reported Ghislaine Maxwell, who I think we all know at this point. If you don't, she's very involved in this scandal surrounding Jeffrey Epstein, the accused child abuser, who, of course, committed suicide in jail.
He suicided himself.
He suicided himself a while back. So a lot of people have been wondering, you know, what are they doing to keep Ghislaine Maxwell safe? Not necessarily because they, you know, care for Ghislaine Maxwell, the person, which, you know, many Christians don't want her to see. Want to see anything happen to her anyway. But we want to see this play out in court. I think I speak for most people. We want to hear all these allegations that have been surrounding this case. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell, they said, had a COVID-19 scare and is now in quarantine in her in that Manhattan prison that she's been locked up in. And I think
shouldn't she be in a cell by herself anyway with the kind of the track record going on here?
That's exactly what I was thinking. So I tweeted about this the other night and said something like, yeah, this is kind of how it starts when you hear that Ghislaine Maxwell is in COVID-19 quarantine, which I'm with you. She should have been by herself in a cell
like
already.
She didn't seem like, with this situation, a candidate for Gen Pop.
No, you know? No, I would say not. And now a news story coming out that says Ghislaine Maxwell, they wake her up every 15 minutes in her cell to make sure that she hasn't, quote-unquote, killed herself like Jeffrey Epstein did. And they said that she is subject to more onerous conditions than the FBI's most dangerous inmates. This is from her lawyers, who are, of course, trying to make things easier on her in jail. But they said she is overmanaged under conditions more restrictive than inmates housed in 10 South, which is the most restrictive unit in the MCC, or individuals convicted of terrorism and capital murder and the most restrictive facility operated by the BOP. So, you know, I don't wish anything well, certainly, with Ghislaine Maxwell. I want to see this trial play out in court.
She'd get a bit of a torture if you wake somebody up every 15 minutes.
That's what I was going to say.
She may be paying the price on that one.
That sounds like hell to me. Being woken up every 15 minutes, that's insane. But if it, what do you think will be the response from the American people if anything happens to Ghislaine Maxwell, similar to what happened with the Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, that, okay, that's a great question, because I think you look, okay, in the spectrum of conspiracy theorist, I'm way far away from conspiracy theory land, right? I've taken my arrows over time because I don't buy into conspiracy
theories. The world is round.
Yes, I believe that most conspiracy theories, I think there's a conspiracy theory about conspiracy theories, but other than that, but the Epstein thing takes somebody like me, who I think deals in the world of logic and known fact, and makes me go, that thing right there, that thing right there is not on the up and up. So if something, now the question is, if something happened to Ghislaine Maxwell, that we didn't get any smoking gun over this Epstein thing, so do we get, now that, there's a conspiracy theory for y'all. Y'all track that one down and leave the reptile lizard people under Washington alone. All right, I'll see y'all at noon for Midday Mobile. Our man, Jeff Poore, and the Jeff Poore Show, straight ahead.